Om Shanti Didi. The theme of today, the day is the fortune of light. So we had Amrit Vela together, youth group, and after that we have divided into two groups. One is the younger one from 13 to 15. So we have separate Murli class for the younger group, 13 to 15, and the bigger group, they join the big Murli class. After that, after breakfast, we go for Yajna Seva for 2 hours. So we divided into four groups, and we went to bakery department, vegetable department, toli department, and we swapped this into this department. And it is because today the topic, according to the topic, it's like a fortune of light. So after the Yajna Seva, we invited Didi Sudesh, and we interview her, and Sudesh Didi shared about how we create fortune through our karma, through our elevated karma. And a few of the questions youth asked to Sudesh Didi, and few Gopi Ben was just taking it, and I think they will ask you a few questions according to today's topic.
So, Jenti Ben, you can begin with the light of fortune, your experience of fortune, and especially in your Brahmin life, because you've had a very rich journey. And whilst on the spiritual level, there's huge nourishment, on the physical level, there's been ups and downs. So how have you kept the light of fortune alive?
This topic a little bit differently, because in one of our teachers' meetings, probably it was the first one in Morangan, and Daddy had come for that, Daddy Janki. And what happened in that was that the youth group met Daddy, and all the youth group of that time have now become adults, so none of them would be here in this group now, I think. But it was a teacher's retreat, and the regional teacher's retreat at that time, the Europe and Middle East group. And the question was put to Daddy, Daddy, how does one create in your life? The proof of that is the transformation that is visible in your life. And so your transformation is visible through your dharana. And so especially with family, Laukik family, Alaukik family, those who are very close to you and know you very well, they're going to be seeing your life. They're not going to be impressed by how many vegetables you've cut or how many dishes you've washed or any of that. That's all important. But it's going to be through your behavior. Your face, your attitude, your vibrations, the way you speak, the way you interact, your dharana totally is going to be inspiring others. Or it's going to be raising questions in their minds. Well, is this what Gyan teaches? Is this what Raj Yoga is all about? And so your practical lifestyle is your fortune. A, it's your fortune that you have gone through that transformation that's visible, but also it inspires many others to raise their game and create their stage in a more elevated fashion. And so through that whole weekend, Daddy just kept coming back to this. What should be the quality of my thinking? And today's Murali is beautiful because Baba was very much focused on pure, elevated thoughts. And what is the source of pure, elevated thoughts? Smirli, yesterday Baba spoke about godly directions, and then the divine directions, and then the human directions. Human directions, very easy to identify and say that the outcome of that is going to be sorrow, the give and take of sorrow, the exchange of sorrow. Divine directions, well, we get them in Satyug, and we're not actually doing anything for another there. So it's not an act of charity. But yes, it's good karma. It's pure karma. It's an exchange of happiness together. And then godly directions. Where do we get godly directions from? We get them from the Murali. I don't get them in the touching inside my own head. And I don't get them from other people. Yes, if there's been human interaction, and I can say that, yes, this is something that is bringing me closer to God, that's fine. But if after 10 minutes, 20 minutes, spending time with an individual, I'm remembering that individual rather than Baba, then there's something that's not quite right. But the other thing that interferes is my own mind, and Manmat comes in. Baba didn't mention that yesterday, but just taking it in the context of today's Murali, Manmat, how do I know that it's Manmat and not Srimat? Well, if it's directly from the Murali, I know it's Srimat. But if it's anything else that's a little bit divergent away from that, then it's probably my nature, my sanskars that is speaking. And it could be out of ego, it could be out of attachment, it could be out of desires. There could be a whole heap of things that are stimulating my thoughts at a particular time in that way. And so what I need to do is to make sure that I'm able to discern and identify where it is that my mind is speaking and what is Baba's speaking. And Baba's speaking is the Murali. And so if my thoughts are based on Baba's Murali, then that is pure elevated thoughts, natural and easy, not hard work, not labor. Why? Because if my face is just indicating labor, then that's not very inviting for people. It's not going to encourage them to come closer to God. They've got enough problems of their own without taking on anything further. And so they don't want to see problems. They don't want to see a face that's the embodiment of problems. What is going to inspire them and be an advertisement for Baba and bring others closer to Baba is the sparkle of divinity and spirituality in my face and in my eyes. And so whatever is going on deep inside, that purity shines and radiates out. And so this is what I need to do to create my fortune. And if I'm making sure that I am the embodiment of the things that Baba's talking about, my thoughts, my behavior, my drishti, my attitude, my interaction, then yes, that is not just my fortune, but it's also an inspiration for others to create their fortune. And of course, the feedback of that is blessings for me. And so my path becomes even easier. And so when Baba says in the giving is the receiving, ask a Lokic person what that means. They've heard it and they say it, but they don't actually know. But what it does mean in a very real way is that if I've done something very positive that's brought souls closer to God, out of their hearts comes good wishes. And as I receive those good wishes, my path becomes that much easier. And so day by day, the journey is easy, Raj Yoga, but also elevated Raj Yoga. And so normally you would say that easy and elevated, how can both go together? It's a paradox. But no, it actually, if it is elevated, then it's very easy and natural. So that's what I have to inculcate. And yes, when I make sure that this is the fortune I'm creating through my own highest consciousness, then in that awareness, yes, for sure, when I do service of the yajna, whatever that may be, whether it's my physical time, my energy, my skills, my talents, my words, whatever it is I'm doing, if I'm doing it in Baba's love, with love for Baba, then yes, the return of that good karma is immediate. There are two very special factors about Sangam Yuga in terms of karma philosophy. One is that anything that one does in God's remembrance brings multiple fruits. Normally, Copper Age, Iron Age, you do one good deed and you get one in return. And maybe you get it in your next birth, maybe you get it two births down the line, you never know. But it's also just one for one. But in Sangam Yuga, when you do something with love for God, then that energy multiplies. And as a result of the multiplication of that energy, I get the return now, but I also get the return not even just for half the cycle, but I believe deeply that the impact of that good karma is carried through 99% of the cycle. Maybe it's just simply in our last birth, our 83rd birth, that we experienced deep sorrow. Prior to that, Baba's children wouldn't really have experienced the depths of sorrow that people today are experiencing. And so it's for multiple births that we get the return. But the other is that in Sangam Yuga, every karma, good, not so good, brings immediate return. I have a negative thought about somebody, I have a critical thought about somebody, and my happiness goes. It's instant. You've been hearing the Murali, it's been joyful, and you leave the hall and something happens, you hear something, and your thoughts go racing in that direction, that's it. Your happiness is gone. And then it's going to take time and energy and attention to be able to come back to that state of happiness and go further, further up. But same thing. If I do any karma, whether it's cutting vegetables, cleaning the floor, doing the laundry, if I'm doing it in God's love, God's remembrance, then the return of that is immediate. I get God's love in return, I get happiness from God in return, and I get spiritual power in return. If you think about all the things that Baba says when Muniben announces that today it's a group from Gujarat, tomorrow it's a group from Maharashtra, wherever, wherever, then as a result of whatever it is they've done, Baba specially acknowledges them. That's an immediate return. But also, you can see that Baba tells them about the happiness and the love and also the spiritual power that they've attained through all of that. And so it's very easy to see what is the quality of my karma through the return that I'm experiencing here and now. My highest pure thoughts as I do whatever it is that comes in front of me, and I know that, yes, it's going to be very good karma that's accumulating good amount of charity and blessings. And if it's something that I've done which is a little bit out of line, then there's going to be sorrow. And I have become the cause of my own sorrow. Nobody else does that to me. I do that to myself. So it's so very important just to make sure that in the very short space of time that we have remaining in Sangam Yuga, I believe that it's not a long time to go before we journey home. Baba's Muralis, of course, today was of the 2002, 31st December, and Baba's cautioning us about how time is moving and how in the special time of Sangam Yuga, it's the only opportunity when we have the experience of being with God and so creating fortune on the basis of that. So from that time, 2002, to the point where we are now nearly on the eve of 2025, you can see that much time has elapsed and how much longer is Baba going to be waiting. The eight jewels are ready, that's for sure, we know. But Baba's mainly waiting for the 108, the souls who need to attain victory. And so
I'm sure that if you were to make a list, and I don't want you to make a list, because Baba hasn't yet given us a list, and so we don't have a right to start making lists. But definitely, at least 104 out of the 108 must be ready. So Baba and Rama are waiting just for the last few to reach their karmati stage. And so at this moment, yes, I can see that my dharana is my fortune, but also my thoughts, my words, my actions, my consciousness, my memory. What are the things that I remember? Am I remembering my own highest stage? Am I remembering all my relationships with one? Am I remembering the beautiful scenes with Baba and Madhuban? What is it that's in my memory? So my memory also can be part of this whole process of creating fortune and accumulating fortune, or my memory can become a trap that triggers something, and the feelings that emerge, the memories connected with those feelings, all of that pulls me down. And so I have to be careful on every level. So when Baba said today that, yes, it's easy Raj Yoga, but it mustn't be careless Raj Yoga. And so managing the paradox of very pure, elevated thinking, but also to be able to have those thoughts which are really just simply based on the Murali. And that's going to make my path one of easy Raj Yoga. Not sometimes difficult, sometimes easy, but continually natural and easy, a true joyful yogi way of life. Baba was using this word moj, pleasure, a life of pleasure. But it's not the pleasure of the physical senses. Generally, we associate the word pleasure with the stimulus of the physical senses. No, this is the inner journey. And in this inner journey, yes, we can experience amazing, amazing fortune. And if somebody has fortune, what does their face look like? And if somebody has lost fortune, what does their face look like? And so it is true, our face is a mirror of what's going on in the soul. My eyes are a mirror, but generally my face is also a mirror. And so when Daddy would wake up in the morning and she'd look into the mirror when she was brushing her teeth, do you know what she used to say to herself? She would look at the shining star shining in the mirror in front of her, and she would say, I love you. Can I genuinely say that also every morning? And just imagine Daddy with a body that was not so well the rest of her life, a chariot that was constantly going through all sorts of ups and downs, but she never let that bother her stage. And she would always, always remind herself, I have to love myself. And so my fortune, can I appreciate my fortune, keep thanking Baba for the beauty of the fortune that I've been given, the fortune of having a divine intellect. Just imagine the whole world asking many, many questions and looking for answers and spending trillions, not even billions, trillions to find the secrets of the universe. And here we are, Baba's children, our fortune, Baba's given us the divine intellect. All we have to do is to make sure that we keep it clean so that it doesn't get polluted with anything. And if I keep the intellect clean and clear, then that's amazing fortune. The first fortune was receiving this as a gift from God, but also at all times keeping the intellect clean and clear. That also is part of my fortune and will allow me to continue to generate more and more fortune. So the beauty of Sangam Yuga, we understand the secrets of fortune. Can you imagine before Gyan? We thought someone was lucky, we thought someone was not so lucky, and where do I fit in within that spectrum? maybe I'm up sometimes, down sometimes, and now, no. Understanding all the secrets that God has revealed, the fortune of having a divine intellect, so that then we're able to see everything clearly, understand all the secrets of the universe, the secrets of the self, and be able to keep moving. So every single moment of Sangam Yuga, keep drawing the line of elevated fortune and keep increasing it further and further. And the more you inspire others to create their fortune, your fortune multiplies. You get those blessings from Baba, but also the blessings from the souls who you've served. Okay. Open for questions.
Thank you, Didi. Didi, a question arises when I was listening to you.
You're muted.
Are you muted?
Didi, a question arises in my mind when I was listening to you. Didi, you said that when we are in Sangam Yuga, conscious age, and when we do every karma in Baba's remembrance and love, that then our fortune multiplies, and this fortune we can get from this, through this fortune we can get more fortune by gaining blessings from Baba and other souls. And through my divine intellect, I can also, making my intellect clear every time, I can make my fortune. But sometimes when we are in practical karma field and we are in seva, as you said that we are approaching the last time, time of the conscience age, so many sanskars, all sanskars are emerging in Brahman family, even mine, even other people, other souls. So these all sanskars is creating conflict in the seva while we are in the practical field. And because of this conflict, we are trying to do seva in remembrance, but my own sanskar, their sanskar are influencing my divine intellect and the remembrance of Baba while we are doing seva. So still we are doing seva, but we are not, I think, creating enough fortune if we are in the influence of sanskar, sort of conflict of sanskar. So my question is, here when we are in Madhuban, we had visited 4 pilgrimage places. We are so elevated, but when we go to our places, we cannot sustain that high elevated stage of my intellect and my soul, my mind, and we got influence. So at this time, what I have to pay attention on so that I can make my fortune more elevated while seeing all the sanskars of others?
If I'm focused on two things in particular, A, just to keep the soul shining brightly, if you keep that vision of yourself as the soul shining all the time, then in this stage of inner awareness, then you're going to be able to deal with the sanskars of others in the sense that you can't change them. But what I can do is to make sure that I don't get influenced away from my own elevated stage because of what they say, what they do, and whatever else is going on. That is totally up to me. But how can I change someone else? But I can make sure that I remain unaffected. I maintain that inner stability. And so one is the practice of just seeing who I am. Baba says, see the self, don't see others. And the second is traffic control. And if I'm genuinely following traffic control with a sincere heart, then from time to time, because of that possibility of just taking that pause and refreshing myself as to who I am, who I belong to, and what I need to do, then those 3 mantras from Dadi Janki, if I'm focused on that, then I'm going to make sure that even if I was a little bit influenced
before traffic control, now I get back to that stage of beyond influence. And so they do whatever they need to do according to their role in the drama, their part in the drama, their samskars. But what I choose to do is my choice, and I have to make sure that I maintain my own inner stability.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Om Shanti, sister. I'm from New Jersey, USA. So my question is, in my own spiritual journey and...
Now it's coming.
Sounds good? Okay. Om Shanti, sister. I'm from New Jersey, USA. I have a question. In my own spiritual journey, in following Srimad, how should I, like, follow it, if that makes sense? Like, should I do 100% at first, or should I take slowly, like, follow Srimad? Then, like, what's the direction to do that?
For me, when I began to understand Srimad and what it is Baba wants, it wasn't an option to do things slowly. I was just very passionate about doing everything immediately. And so, especially if you're a young Kumar, slowly doesn't work. And you don't need to go slowly. You can actually make the decision that, yes, I'm going to be Baba's child, I'm going to follow Srimad, and go for it. If somebody's a householder, they have to think about their partner, they have to think about mortgage, they have to think about children, all sorts of things that can influence them, and they might have to then say, okay, well, I'll do this up to here, but no further. But for a young Kumar, in fact, all of you Kumars and Kumaris, why should there be a restriction on the amount of Srimad you follow? Just grasp it with your heart and say yes to Baba and keep moving forward fast.
Om Shanti Didi, I'm Sumalini from Malaysia. So in yesterday's Murli...
No sound.
Om Shanti Didi. Can you hear me? Om Shanti. Didi, can you? Om Shanti Didi, can you hear me? Okay, so in yesterday's Murli, Baba has mentioned that you should now make full spiritual effort. So as we step into year 2025, can you tell us what aspects that we should focus on in making full spiritual effort? Thank you.
I think the most important aspect is two things: to be able to go deep inside and maintain that inner consciousness of who I am, my spiritual identity, to keep coming back to that again and again. And the second is to see how quickly I can keep connecting with Baba. Yes, there are times when I need to focus my intellect on something specific, but before that, connect, do what you need to do, finish that, and again, connect. So it's these two things that will keep me safe. A, from my own negative sanskars, which maybe I haven't even come to realize at this point, but they're there hiding below the surface, so I need to be aware of them. So soul consciousness and Baba's remembrance is going to protect me from the explosion of my own sanskars, which sometimes shocks us. We react and then we say, why did I do this? I shouldn't have done this. But that will be the protection. But that will also then be the protection from the influence of any negativity from outside. And it is simple, like Baba said, it's very simple, but I think about it. And the more alert I am about the inner awareness and also the connection, then I'm going to be safe.
Thank you. I think there's a question that's come from on the chat. Sunaina Ben will read it to you.
Okay. Brain, mind and heart. Let's look at the systems here. When we say mind and heart, we're actually talking about the same thing, because we're talking about thoughts and feelings. And then, yes, the brain, and that's more perhaps connected with the buddhi, and in that it's my belief system. And so when Baba tells us to be soul conscious, he usually uses the expression, have the faith that you are a soul. And so in that practice of soul consciousness, I'm making sure that my intellect and my brain are okay. In soul consciousness, whatever are the multiple things that come to me from outside, the karmic accounts, my divine intellect will stay clear and be able to guide me. Then there's the subject of my thoughts and my feelings. My feelings come from a deep space within, and my thoughts are something that I can be very aware of immediately. And so when Baba says, keep churning Baba's knowledge, because that's the way to protect yourself from Maya. So instead of using the word karmic settlement, can I use the word Maya? Because it'll be ego or anger or greed, one of these things that'll keep coming in some form or another. And so at this moment, the more I react with thoughts and feelings coming up in a negative way, the more those sanskars win and become stronger and stronger. And if you want to use the word karma, I'm also actually increasing my karma instead of settling my karma. So what do I need to do? I need to have the faith that I'm a soul. And secondly, I need to be able to churn jnana. And the cleansing of the thoughts will also purify my feelings. Because when I get lost in negative thinking, it touches my feelings, and my feelings then are going to take a very long time to heal. But if I recognize the signal where I know that my thoughts are moving now in a different direction, can I very quickly press the pause button and say, what does Baba say about this? Emerge jnana in my mind. And in that emergence of jnana, and as I focus on thoughts of what Baba says, then my feelings also begin to become calmer. Otherwise, my negative thinking and my negative feelings trigger all sorts of reactions, which I don't want. My reactivity is going to increase my karmic bondage. My reactivity is going to increase the depth of those sanskars and nature which I'm trying to clear and become clean. So I think these are the steps. First, the soul consciousness, so that my brain becomes calm. Otherwise, my thinking is completely in a different direction. And so first step, my buddhi, soul conscious, faith in the intellect of who I am, and then the churning of jnana with the trigger. What does Baba say about this?
Very clear. Thank you very much, Jyanti Ben. There's one more question from the... Go to the camera, Mike. Oh, this is okay now? Okay.
Om Shanti Didi. Hope you can hear me.
Yes.
So my question is, the more I follow Srimad and do churning of jnana, the more the hurdles and the examination keeps appearing. Can I consider that I'm on a right path? Or shall I consider that as my fortune or something else? Could you provide some guidance, please?
You have to clarify. So when you're trying to follow Srimad and share knowledge, what is it that interferes?
I get to face more of hurdles with other souls. Obstacles and, yeah. The more obstacle I get when I try to follow Srimad in the Laukik area of my work and so on. So I'm just trying to understand if am I on right path actually, or is it something I'm deflecting?
If truly I'm following Srimad, then my behavior at work and with Lokiks will also be accurate in the way that's needed at that moment. For example, you know, sometimes people get into this thing that, oh, yoga, 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 yoga. And instead of focusing on the accuracy of my work, I'm thinking, oh, I have to have yoga, yoga. But that's not the way to be able to manage things. Baba says, yoga also needs to be according to the right moment, according to the right time, the situation. And when it's time for me to accomplish my task, then at that moment, can I focus fully on the task so that the task is accurate and efficient and it's not out of line. And so if I'm facing hurdles, I think it's because I'm not understanding accurately. And so I need to talk to a senior and explain the detail of the situation so that I can get myself aligned. Because I say I'm following Srimad, but if there's causing a problem at work, then there's something that's not quite right. It's not tallying. And so you need to have a chat and sort it out.
Okay, thank you.
Om Shanti Didi. I'm Sattvik from the UK. And you said before that anything that we take directly from the Murli is Srimad, but then there are loads of different ways to interpret the Murli. So how do we know which is a manipulation of our own minds and what's actually what Baba is trying to say?
The Murli contains three different types of content. One is the information that Shiv Baba is giving, which is from up above, and it's the story of the cycle, it's the story of the three worlds, it's the story of our 84 births, etc. And then there's also the experiences of Brahma Baba that come in, and Baba shares his experience of bhakti, his experience of Lokic life, his experience of following Gyan and managing to have yoga, fulfilling his responsibilities. And the third thing is where it's quite specific about situations. Like, for example, Baba said yesterday, and it can be quite a controversial thing, Baba spoke about corruption. And Baba then said, well, if there is an absolute need, then okay, but certainly be careful so that everything stays safe. Now that sort of Srimad isn't for me or anyone sitting here in this gathering, in the sense that Baba's talking about the state of extreme poverty, in which if the person doesn't take bribes, then the likelihood is that they're going to lose their job, because that's the norm, that's the culture within that particular work. They've got no savings because it's hand to mouth. If they lose their job, how do they feed their children? So Baba said that in that particular situation, or even for the military, Baba will say that you're in the military, you can't cook your own food, but what you can do is eat basic simple food, which is clean, but also then offer it to Baba in remembrance. So this third aspect is where there's margin for debate, in a sense. And you just have to see, am I in the position that Baba's talking about? Neither am I so poor that I'd have nothing to eat if I didn't take bribes. Neither am I in the military in which I have to forcibly eat food cooked by others. So you see, that third area is the grey area where Baba says, Baba's Srimad is specific for different individuals in different situations. And so, do I fit that situation? And then I have to see if that works for me or what it is that I need to do within my particular situation. The other two is absolute. Shiv Baba's Gyan there's no margin for debate in that. And then Brahma Baba's experience, again, it's from Brahma Baba's own heart and experience, so we're not going to argue with that. So it's clear, isn't it? So it's just this third area in which it's very specific, but it doesn't apply generally to everyone. Clear?
Yeah. Thank you, Didi.
Om Shanti, Didi. Can she hear me?
Yes, I can.
Didi, I'm from Thailand. Didi, you mentioned that we're coming so close to the end of the confluence age. And I think most of us would resonate with what I'm about to say. So when we hear these thoughts that, oh, it's the beginning of Satyuga and the end of confluence age, sometimes our hearing it, we do feel scared and fogged up that what is it that we have to do now? Because we also have a path that we are taking, as in most of us are pursuing our careers, but at the same time, we also need time for yoga and doing the service. And I believe all of us would love to see ourselves with the daddies as equal as them, but that requires a lot of purushartha. So how do you feel confident about where we are today? Yeah.
Good question. And what I would suggest is, if the morning hours are well used, then through the day, whatever it is I do is going to be filled with a sense of that purity without being influenced by anger or greed or attachments, etc., etc. So through the day, yes, do what you need to do in terms of studying or working, so that then things turn out to be well, that they turn out to be accurate. And then in the evening, for most people, there are several hours that are available in which you can spend that time studying or doing service, studying dhyana, I mean. And so I think that keeping that sort of balance of early morning for jnana and yoga, then the day for karma yoga, whatever it is my responsibility, and then in the evening making time for the self again. That can be something in which you're not wasting time, like Baba was focusing on today, not to waste time, not to waste thoughts, not to waste breath. So I'm using my time in the best way possible, and so that will give me the accumulation of the charity, the pure karma that I need to be able to move forward. And of course, when Baba sees that I'm consistent in what I'm doing, then you get blessings from Baba and help from Baba. So it's not a question of being afraid, but it's a question of preparing. And yes, I see little things that go on and that cause me fear. Well, can I challenge that fear and chase it away? Because if I allow that fear to stay, then tomorrow when there's big things happening, I won't be able to deal with it. And so whatever is coming my way today, with the jnana and yoga that I'm filling myself with, I deal with that a step at a time. So don't think too much about who, why, where, how. Just say, Baba, I belong to you, you are mine, and keep moving forward steadily.
I like the emphasis on don't be scared, but prepare. So, Jenti Ben, thank you so much. We don't want to take up too much more of your precious time because we asked you for 50 minutes and it's up. So I think everyone in the room has appreciated your very practical and clear input. Is that right? Am I speaking on behalf of everyone? Yes, so we want to give a little... They're all shouting yes, yes. Yes, so thank you very, very much for your time. And are there any final words you want to share with this group before you give some drishti and depart?
Keep a vision of your perfect form in front of you and keep moving towards that. And so don't let your vision look anywhere else. When you're looking at others, see the shining star. But for yourself, just keep that vision of perfection and keep taking a step forward each day. a further few steps forward.
Thank you. So can we just have a few moments of drishti and then we'll take leave from you. Thank you.